Welcome to this podcast from CoreMD, Coordinating Research and Evidence for Medical Devices. This is a European Union-funded project that perhaps for the first time has brought together colleagues from all sorts of disciplines to consider how we evaluate and approve medical devices in Europe and how perhaps we could do this better in future. And on this podcast, I'm very pleased to welcome Perla Marang van de Meijn from the Netherlands. She's an epidemiologist. She's been working with us in CoreMD in a very important project on post-market data and surveillance of medical devices. When you joined the project, Perla, I think you were in the University of Leiden, but you've moved to the University of Delft in the Netherlands, where you're now Associate Professor for Quality of Care and Safety. Perhaps I might start with asking you why you made the move and why the new environment that you think can help to cross-fertilize ideas that can improve the system in general for medical devices.
Yes, thanks. My main reason is that I'm very eager to learn. And what's interesting in the Delft University of Technology is that they work on innovation of technology, but they not only do that, but they also think about safety of these new innovations once they get adopted into practice, where they may often be unintended effects. And of course, I was limited to some extent to only having the view on healthcare. And there I can work with colleagues who work in different disciplines, also on safety aspects, and hopefully learn from them, from their approaches and what we can use from that in healthcare. And to apply that to medical devices, what is interesting is that it's often the not only the device itself or the material, but the interaction with the context in which it's used. The person using it, like the surgeon implanting a device, but also the patient in which it is implanted.
So it's interesting, you've perhaps gone there to be challenged yourself intellectually by interacting with other disciplines from outside medicine and healthcare. If that's correct, let me now ask you to challenge us on how we do post-market surveillance for high-risk medical devices, because we know that that is an essential requirement of manufacturers in the regulatory system in Europe, defined by the medical device regulation. But in the past, perhaps this hasn't been done very systematically. And we do now have a lot of medical professional associations who run their own registries. So perhaps I could start by asking you if you'd like to try to describe the different types of real-world evidence that are available.
Yes, there's a wide variety from national registries, for instance, to more regional registries, or just hospital-based data collections, cohort studies, but also what I would call incident reports, which are concerns, perhaps safety concerns, that people using a particular device could have reported, could also be clinicians or doctors. So they may arise for different reasons. But what's different between, for instance, these safety reports and the registries is that these safety reports are often sometimes they're mandatory, but they're not systematically collected, at least not always. It depends on what type of incident reporting you're looking at. And the registries, on the other hand, those are systematic collections of data if done properly.
But you and your research fellow, Lotje Hogervorst, have been reviewing the availability of data from registries that might be useful for these regulatory functions, for monitoring the safety of devices. And you've done it, I think, for both cardiovascular and orthopedic registries. And I know we can't go into too much detail, but can you tell us, do you think the way that we organize our registries currently as professional medical associations is sufficient to meet the needs of the regulatory system?
Ooh, it's a tricky question, of course, maybe the million-dollar question. But I think that there is good data out there, and some registries really are of very, very good quality. And I think regulators could do more to use that in their systematically in their workflow. But for regulators, of course, it's hard to recognize what is good quality data and what is sufficient quality analysis of those data. So I think there needs a little bit of both sides, that on the other hand, registries, at least the ones that we have identified, did not always report various variables that would be very relevant for regulators to understand the quality.
It's quite possible that registries and electronic databases are now collecting the information that manufacturers would need, but they're not always reporting it. I mean, tell me about the reporting of outliers and safety signals from registries, both within orthopedics and cardiology.
Yes, for the orthopedic side, that there are quite some registries that systematically report publicly all the outliers. Not all the registries do that publicly. For some, it's only available on a secured website, but at least then clinicians, for instance, might be able to access it. On the cardiovascular side, we could not find any registry publicly reporting outliers or the procedures and definitions that they use for that.
So I think you'd agree that there is work to be done through our collaboration and future work to link the data standards and data items in registries with the needs of manufacturers and regulators, and to identify what should be public information and what should be reported in terms of safety. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly, and particularly around the what is good quality data, because I think regulators need some guidance on what data they can trust when it comes to interpreting safety
signals. So, in fact, that brings us to another task that you've been doing within the CoreMD consortium, which is to try to reach agreement between a large group of people on what would be the ideal characteristics for a registry run by an independent professional medical association. Perhaps you can tell us the kind of people who've been helping with that and how the project is going.
Yes, we've conducted a Delphi study where we try to bring together people from different stakeholder groups, so both the clinicians from orthopedics or cardiovascular, but we also try to involve diabetes registries, for instance, or other registries. We try to include the people active in the registries, methodological experts, and of course also the regulators, and particularly people from notified bodies. And the reason we brought all of these together is to let them reach consensus on what would be a minimum set of data that they would need to judge the quality of registry data.
So that it can be used by manufacturers and regulators as part of their real-world evidence post-market surveillance.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes.
And so you will be publishing this next year from the CoreMD consortium.
Yes, we're finalizing now the final round where we have reached two sets of minimal sets, one on quality of data and the other on the quality of analysis, which is equally important, particularly for regulators when it comes to identifying outliers or safety concerns. And we will publish that.
So I look forward to seeing that, and I've enjoyed being part of the process and helping you and your colleagues. But it perhaps brings me to the final topic that I would like to raise briefly, and that is we're going to produce recommendations, but how do we work to ensure that they're useful and that they're actually used? I think you now have developed an interest in what in academic terms is called regulatory science or implementation science. Would you like to tell us about that briefly?
Yes. Well, for the listeners, the implementation science, I always approach that in the sense that, of course, you need to be able to address a certain need or a certain or solve a certain problem. So this is why it was so important to have all the stakeholders together in the context of our consortium, but also, for instance, in the Delphi panel that we've organized. So I see this as a first step, but more work needs to be done, particularly in trying to overcome some of the barriers for regulators that would who would need to use the data. And we need to tackle those barriers. But before doing that, we first need to really get an understanding what these are and how these might differ in the different stages. post-market surveillance versus, for instance, pre-market access.
So what I've learned about post-market surveillance from our project is that there may still be a role for individual case reports or for anecdotal data. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's the first warning of a safety signal. But in general, real-world evidence needs to be approached methodologically, doesn't it, with a sound approach that includes planning in advance what data are usable of sufficient quality, what questions you're going to ask, what statistical analysis you will do. It's not going out there to see what's available, but it's looking to see what all the sources are and how they can be used, if you like, scientifically with sound methodology to answer a question. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And that's why we felt it was also so important to add that element of the quality of the analysis. And that, of course, includes that you need to start with a question, that you need to publish your protocol in advance and be very transparent about the statistical analysis that you plan to use, as well as report any deviations from that protocol. So in that sense, it's not that they're different from what you would do in a trial, for instance.
Yes. So hopefully we can go on collaborating and develop this further. But thank you very much for this discussion.
You're welcome.